That was a banker-caused recession, depression, collapse, because their intent was to punish the small community banks that did not join the Federal Reserve System. And so, Ion, was the
okay,
Great Depression...
Okay, wait, Mark, let me say something. The banks were reacting to the effect of radio. That's what one of the greatest economists of the 20th century, Harold Innes, I-N-N-I-S, who had an influence or supplemented McLuhan's work, or McLuhan's picked up on Innes. So here you have this, you know, software-free software environment of the 20s, a beginning of a virtual economy that the accounting books couldn't control. Now, the conspiracy of the bankers, I understand, would be, uh-oh, this is a global medium. We got a lease to organize our local area. That would be a nation. So they went for centralization. It was a reaction to the radio effect, not a causing of the collapse. So I would just say that, and let's see if Ion could tease the threads and distinctions there of what I said and what you said. So, yeah, go ahead and talk to Ion.
Yeah, Ion, would the was the Great Depression...
Take it out, Bob. It's in your inbox.
Oh, come on. Another stupid bunch of lyrics, Ion? Come on, let's deal with this in economic terms. Dale Evans and Roy Rogers, fuck that. Whatever they said, it's great. They say relax and allow. Wonderful lyrics. Let's go back to the economics that Mark is pushing us into. Okay,
are we going to the song, or are we going to the
economy? No, it's just Dale, you know, some happy song, yeah. Home on the Range, yeah. Gold is everywhere, and Trigger is the best horse in the world, or something like that.
Yeah. See, if you think about it, the you know, during World War One, you know, 1917-18 around there, the farmers were doing very, very well. And because there was an expansion of the money supply, they were able to take some of their profits and buy more land and, you know, just basically go further into debt. And then in 28, 29, you know, so there we had the Roaring Twenties when, you know, loose money and everyone was, you know, happy and spending. And then the along comes the contraction of the money supply. And most of the small banks, community banks, or most of the farmers were investing and keeping their money with the rural community banks instead of the big New York banks. And so when that contraction of the money supply happened, then, you know, you had farmers that couldn't pay their notes, and you had foreclosures and so, you know, you don't get this in mainstream dialogue, but books that I've read indicate that it was a manufactured event to punish the small community banks that didn't join the Federal Reserve System. Is that correct?
Well, Ion,
correct?
Do you agree with that, Ion?
Did he leave?
He might not be talking until you play his music, Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
you just go read the lyrics.
Came before.
Just read the lyrics.
Of what? Oh, you're asking.
It's called Duke Ellington and Dizzy Gillespie on Trigger. No, it's Dale Evans and Roy Rogers. It doesn't say what the song is. Let me click on it and get the title. He's not going to answer anyway. Okay, so it's called Remembering. Remembering Dale Evans.
Remembering the Great Depression.
See, it doesn't matter what the song said. It's the aphoristic method. You get a truism, an aphorism,
yeah,
out of these lyrics. We want to do left hemisphere accounting details, as diluted as it might be. I like to hear Ion do a more protein statistical interpretation or other factors we're not considering. So, Ion, what is it that that what is Mark getting at here? Do you agree that there was a planned event to consolidate to knock out the little banks and consolidate a stronger national bank, national system around New York? What do you think of that, Ion? Oh, Ion's not even here.
I think the topic bored him.
No, that's not a good excuse.
Yeah.
Important topic. You're not happy with the RICS, the VIX. You don't like what you've done with your VIX?
Well, I bought it based on Ion's suggestion, and it really hasn't done much. So, it spiked a little bit, but I was expecting the much bigger spike was in October of last year during triple witching hour.
Mm.
So we had, in October we had triple, the third Friday, and then in December we had the quadruple. And so I was expecting there to be probably even a bigger spike in December, and there wasn't. And, I'm holding on to it, and I know it's a matter of time. But, one thing I wanted to ask, Ion's gone, but I think this is an important question, is when Ion, and I'll use the example of the Southern Company. Ion mentioned back in October of last year that he didn't say it to everybody, but he gave a recommendation to buy Southern Company, and he's talked about it a number of times since then, and even with Gene and Eliza, he mentioned buy at 44, and Gene correctly reminded him that, okay, it still hasn't split yet. Of course, we know it hasn't.
Yeah.
But that stock has done nothing for 3 or 4 months. It's just hovered right in that 44 range. And for a stock to split, and I use the example of Starbucks recently split when it hit 92, that something is going to have to put a spark under that stock for it to split. But this is what I'm leading to.
Yes,
when Ion tells us something, we can't pin down time. I mean, it could be 100 years from now that this stock splits, because there is no time.
Right.
And so when Ion tells us something, how do we put some type of bracket around it, or maybe we can't?
I've wondered
maybe
the same thing, Mark, in regard to the financial questions. And the one thing, it is that separation of the virtual speculation in the virtual markets, as opposed to speculation in that separation you were talking about when you were summarizing Baudrillard.
Mm-hmm.
And when Ion responds to our financial questions, there are many people listening. So it's not that might be taking Ion's advice. And that's what I wonder sometimes, just how personal those responses are, because Ion knows that they are influencing more people than those of us that are asking the questions.
And the recent revelation that we've come to in the past 3 weeks or 4 weeks is that it when he makes comments, it greatly depends on the chemistry of the people communicating with him.
Yeah.
Right.
And
now,
and he's brought up SO with me at least 3 times. I'm the one that's questioning when he brings up SO.
Yeah. And
SO is a utility company.
Yeah.
SO is a real, it's a real product, and it's energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm very, and it's the region of Atlanta. So I'm very curious.
It
might be a Bill Show question.
No. Yeah. You made some good points there, Gene. what happens when our Coldplay goes forth?
Exactly, the spark that you mentioned.
That's the thing. That's the thing that causes a change in everywhere.
Yeah.
And like you said, Gene, Atlanta, Southern country, company in that area, and energy, utilities. Yeah, that's our field.
I'm not doubting Ion at all. I mean, they are amazing, and I know that when they give answers, there's just much more to it that we don't see or understand or.
Hey, yeah, Mark, it's like talking to the President of the United States, you know, what the President says or Alan Greenspan say, it would alter everything, the word that makes the market. Yeah, you have to understand that when we're having Ion here, we've got something of that weight, and as Gene said, everybody's listening, and including other worlds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've got no money to buy stock at all. I'm just very interested. Just, you know, because of in the topic itself, I haven't understood the value of the stock market
in
my entire adult life, really. And now look at the volatility index. You're speculating on how volatile other markets will be, right? Is that a simple summary? So now you're no longer trading anything that's real. It's all speculation on what something might cost in the future, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even trading on product. There's nothing substantial. There's no value. There's no more.
Yeah. But see, a lot of the stocks, there's many company stocks that have real assets, but there's a lot of, they call them exchange traded funds that are it's a proxy for something else, for energy or you just the direction of the market. But I never paid much attention to it. Now here's something that's very strange. Ion and I don't know if we should bring other people's names into this, but you know, there's someone else on that listens to the program that Ion gives advice to, I believe, and they have indicated that they've done very well. And
mean Califia?
Okay, I didn't say
that.
Had
private sessions. Califia had private sessions.
Yeah.
And so you know, it seems strange, but she could be buying the same thing I'm buying and making a killing, and I'm not doing much with it. It seems impossible that could happen, but anyway, it is kind of strange. Hey, you know, Bob, and I know the private session thing, but the only way you're really going to get real clear direction on things is if you were able to have the one-on-ones and. You know, it's hard to get finite information. You know, and I'm not talking just financial. I'm talking about ascension and, when I first started listening a year and a half ago, I thought this is going to be pretty simple. You know, it'll take me 6-9 months and I'll be ascended. Because it looked, hey, you can be, do, or have anything you want. You know, I had all the catchphrases down, and now we know that those have been erased, and we're moving on to something else. But it's pretty complex, and maybe we have eternity to figure this out.
Yeah, well, Ion's pretty persuasive.
Yeah, he's pretty what?
He's a very personal.
He's a very good speaker, so he's very persuasive in the beginning. He inspires people. I don't know if that's Ion's fault, but reality turns out to be way more involved than that. But Ion knows that eventually you'll get there, so he can always come in and be positive. He doesn't say you'll get it in 3 weeks or 6 months or 5 years. I worry about that. Just a minute, I got to switch my phone. Just a second.
Okay.
It's almost, Mark, like you get flipped upside down. So everything you think is right, you're surprisingly wrong about.
Oh, yeah.
That period of time. Yeah.
What'd you say, Gene? Gene, what'd you say?
I said that it's almost like there's a period of time where you have to be flipped upside down. So anything that you think you have figured out and is right ends up being entirely wrong, you know, and it puts you
yes.
in a place where, yep. And then
you
get
little...
through that.
You don't know how much of a little man, how immature you are in your mind, emotion, and everything. And you have a great opinion of yourself, but you're nothing compared to what you're going to be. So you have a lot of delusions. And that's the beginning of this, realizing how deluded. You have these assumptions about all this great news you get from Ion, and you work on that for a couple of years, and it doesn't apparently lead anywhere. We were talking about Madeline earlier. Mm-hmm. How do you know that isn't the process of working it out and learning to experience contrast maturely and then getting balanced about it? It's a lot more. What's good about Ion is he's not giving you a program like a yoga thing or some kind of transcendence. They are here to work and modulate you as you go through it, like a good teacher would be. And that's what you have to recognize that. Engaging Ion can go on for decades. That's probably what it's going to do.
Yeah.
But that's how silly we are. We think, oh, yeah, oh, I just heard of this idea of ascension. Yeah, I'll take 6 months off and work on it and become ascended. Jesus.
Yeah.
People, they used to say, what do we do after we take this rewrite course? And he would say, or they would say, study Bob. Now, how I understand that is you've got a lot of assumptions in your social mortar mind. It's all mixed up with your private sovereignty, and you need to start working that and studying the old mortar stuff through the things I recommend. Then you get that out of your mind. Then you might get a clear view on what talking to an angel is or something.
Sure.
So you got to do a lot of work while having a good time about it, because in the end, you're already there, and I don't know if there's going to be much of a difference when you are ascended.
Yeah.
Ion says
it. You know, in the very beginning, I obviously focused on the Ion stuff, and I would listen to your stuff, but I was I didn't think that it had as much relevance as I now do, and so now I think I'm going to try to, especially with the latest thing that Ion said, that it's the chemistry. So it almost says that if you're not talking to Ion directly, then anything he says may not have any meaning to you at all.
Right.
So if you're listening, and you've made a big point of this over the last months, if you're listening, you're not engaging, and it may not apply to you. It may or may not. But your stuff, I can see how we've got so screwed up with the printing press and how important that information is. So, I'm usually amazed when I listen to some of that stuff.
Two years ago, I would say, oh, God, it's going to take me 20 years to figure all this out. And then now I can say, wow, I've got the rest of my life to read and explore all this stuff that Bob has provided for us. And so my whole attitude is completely changed. No!
Right.
Heck. I can dabble in this and dabble in that and go into LaRouche a little bit and then go check out the bond markets and see what's happening with bonds.
Yeah.
Bonds are what intrigue me, Mark.
Bonds are the biggest bubble of all time.
Yeah.
Everyone's been going to bonds for years and years and years. They've been paying, but it can't be sustained because,
none of it can.
I know you know quite a bit of this, but, I mean, the Fed is buying our debt. We're buying our own debt, monetizing the bonds. So, I mean, at some point that even in a virtual economy, there's going to be a hiccup. If everything was infallible, we would have never have had 2008.
And that's where we got Bob and Carolyn and Ion and JW in our corner. And that's, and I know it's probably so simple, So very, very simple,
yeah.
But that's where the game plan is. And
yeah.
Because, again, a bond is simply a loan. A bond is simply a loan, which means it does have to get paid back at some point. And the government doesn't have any money to pay it back.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to ask Bob this because both of you guys were on the line with Ion when he mentioned 2 months ago that he said he was talking about the 2008 crash, and he said it was a year ago. And I think, Gene, you even said, well, Ion, how could that be a year ago? That was 2008. And all he said was that's when the dollar died, I believe. And do you have any thoughts on that, Bob, why he would say that the 2008 crash was just a year ago? Is it because there is no time?
No, let's see. I was just looking up, dealing with that topic as you were talking, just trying to get the exact date that Bear Stearns went down. It says March 2008. Did he give an actual particular day? Let's see.
Well, he made he referenced January 2008 in that March 1st program. So, but
okay. So, on March 20th, Carolyn's birthday, Securities Exchange said the collapse of Bear Stearns was due to a lapse. So they collapsed a couple days before. The 2 days later, March 16th, Bear Stearns signed a merger agreement in a stock swap worth $2 a share. So, middle of March, beware the Ides of March kind of thing.
Yeah.
On March 14th, the Federal Reserve agreed to provide a $25 billion loan. So right there in the middle of March. Okay, the reason I bring this up is you go back to Mr. Baudrillard, who was the most avant-garde thinker during the 90s and up to 2007. He dies on March 6, 2007.
Yeah.
And Ian was telling me, I got involved with JW in detail in January 2007. So he's telling me by end of January that there's going to be wipeout all the major houses of Wall Street. And he says it's going to start on February 21st, 2007 in China when there's a little drop in the China stock market or index, whatever it is there. And so that happened on the 21st. There was something was reported. So Baudrillard dies a couple of days later. And Baudrillard's the mind that's giving a reason for why there's not a crash or this convergence of the real and the virtual. So he's gone. And I'm with JW in April 2007. Now, why is that? Who's brought in their stupid fucking phone thing? Got to see why we get an echo all of a sudden. I'll just mute some people. So on April 22nd, JW tells some people that by August, the CIA will be paid for by him. They'll be working for him. So and I remember in July, that was a dramatic month talking to Ion. And I mean to JW, lots of personal things were happening in July. So I see that Baudrillard's gone. Then there's nothing holding together. His power of his mind is not there. And this is an example of a person being chemistry. And then everything falls apart as soon as he dies to April, May, June. And then the subprime becomes a name in the press around end of July, 1st of August, 2007. So it takes a year to everything to go beyond subprime, and that's September 2008. So the point is here, what Baudrillard said couldn't happen kind of happened in September 2008, but it still didn't completely happen. And the government was able to take virtual money and keep it going, the TARP things. So that idea that there is no crisis, never could be under virtual conditions, is what people's minds can't take. It's like, hey, you're in heaven. It never can be collapsed. Stop having these concepts about how things are going to get retributed or everybody's going to pay for a bunch of crap. And Ian said the thing appeared to crash because people just didn't like it. It didn't make sense by 2007 what was happening. So their minds, the little man's mind, said, no, we got to put a stop to this. So they did a fake stop, and then here we are today. The stop didn't wipe out anything or anything dramatic. And you got the conspirators waiting for the big collapse. Now, Ian said the other day that it collapsed a year ago. That would be the serious level of this thing where we're the saving mechanism in all this. And about a year ago, we became very powerful. And that's because it got to the point of a collapse that was the irreversible collapse, or it's over, close the store and go home. And then we're sitting there smiling. And I would say the drama of the last year is what Ian's referring to after the end. I mean, he said to Roxanna last week, she asked something about when's this going to happen or something, or what's the sign, and Ian said, when it's over. The end.
Yeah.
The end. And it sounds like we're in the end.
Yeah.
So
now, is that what you were
now,
referring
Ian
to?
Now, Ian over that, ever since then, listen to this, ever since then, a year or so ago, he did say it occasionally, but he's been nuts over the past year. Anything that happens, well, it goes to Bob, right? And JW himself, as a personal wealthy person, is in a very solid position. So people have been hovering around him since 2008. So there's the JW factor, and then there's the Ion factor. And sometimes I think I'm the Lee Harvey Oswald. I'm the patsy being set up for whatever the hell's coming, you know? And
that JW does not want to be. Bob.
What?
You're so cynical.
Right. No, it's normal. Years in the Secret Council and all
kidding.
That. But JW, he definitely does not want to be known. He's very adamant about that, you know, and it's probably wise. In many ways, he's gone stealth years ago.
Yeah.
And, let me just see, what's this? Oh, good. We got Bert here. Bert's always our second wind. Thank you, Bert, for showing up.
Bert.
Hey.
Bert never knows what has happened. Have you been listening for a while?
The last 2 hours.
Oh, okay. So then you phone. So when you phone in is not when you show up. You show up before that.
Yes.
Okay. So you know what we're talking about. Did you have any thoughts? Yes. Oh, let me see if I finish. So it's getting ridiculous. I mean, I caused a Nepal earthquake. I caused this. I caused that. Fucking everything. Fucking Bob's the only thing around here. Bob earthquaked himself, you know. So I don't know what to say. I don't know if you're supposed to believe it, but I like what Mark's doing his research. You ask very clear questions and statements. And it's too bad Ian left. Maybe he'll be back. If you're going to leave soon, Mark, check back later to see if Ian came back. I mean, and maybe in 3, 4, 5 hours.
Yeah,
because
well, you know,
kind of questions is what we require.
Yeah, you know, there was. You know, speaking of Bert, during that March 1st show, when he was talking about the silver, he actually mentions Bert's name, and he said, "Bert, if you don't jump in on this here, you're going to miss a good time." Do you remember hearing that, Bert?
Faintly, but I don't really remember if it was. He said it so quick that I didn't know if he was talking to me or not. I thought I heard that,
you
but
know,
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it was. If you want to go back, it's the March 1st, 6 a.m. hour. And,
okay.
You know, I know you're from Switzerland, so I'm thinking, well, maybe it's the Swiss franc. And, you know, but the whole discussion was about silver and how it was going to take off. And you know, and Gene will remember this, as you will, Bob. Ion spent a good 30 minutes trying to develop that, and it was something that he wanted to get across. And
yes.
he wasn't going to be, and I know it was early in the morning, and, you know, if you're not familiar with Jamie Dimon, you know, some of these dots are not going to be connected, but he was relentless in staying the course to make sure that information got put out. And so I had many more questions.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wasn't
right.
there a country, didn't they mention a country in that discussion having some sort of impact or influence?
What country? Switzerland?
Maybe. I'm trying to remember now.
I don't remember.
Well, what's the point? So he mentions another country. What does that mean? for you.
Well, then he brought up Bird as well. I'm trying to remember if it had to do with banking.
He brought me up on the 1st of March. I don't even remember this. I mean, I think I remember him mentioning passing real quick, Bert, and the blah, 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 but I don't remember.
See, that was the show where you couldn't call in and you were sending little quick messages.
That's a typical Ion move, eh? When Bert's fucking constipated, cut off. He said, hey, gives Bert everything. Bert can't get it. That's a trickster part of Ion.
But
here's the thing. Bert, he tells Bert to do this or that. The real message is, I've been wondering where the heck you were, because we haven't heard from you in 6 months or something. The point is that the lesson is to stay here and be ready. You don't know when the chicken's gonna, give birth to the golden egg or something.
Right.
That's why you have to hang out here and be part of it, because you might be part of the alchemy. And if you're going to get some benefits, I think it requires a bit of... Ion is not helping those idiots who are fucking listening and patenting anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're trying to get it without participation.
Yeah.
And just spy. So Ion is, he's monitoring so many realities constantly. Like, he mentioned something tonight that showed that he knew a lot about whatever the topic was. He named someone before anybody else did. He named can't remember what it was, but this is the weirdness, because none of this in the end matters anything. It's all bullshit. Yeah. It's all social mortar. And Ion is there for you to get your power on the deepest way.
Yeah.
And not to be worried about your silver investments and this and that. But he knows we're stuck in the middle of it, so he's playing with it with us.
Sure.
And then maybe if you really don't care about getting anything, then that's when they dump everything on you.
Right.
That becomes contrast. Everything you wish for becomes contrast, what you thought you wished for. So I don't see Ion being very satisfactory in the short run for people's questions. It's constant frustration, indirect. I don't know. I think you're supposed to put up with it anyways and hang in here.
Well,
you never know when...
and I could see Ion, like I last called in 7 months ago, and now I haven't missed an hour. I go through every show, every hour. I listen to the What's Youth, I listen to Carol's, Jenny's, and I'm taking notes and all that stuff, but...
You came in here, Mark, you came in here, and Ion didn't fuck around, he answered your questions. You know, he's talked to you. That's a good sign. He's not answering other people. I don't think they're doing their homework.
Yeah. But he's probably thinking, hey, where you been, you know?
He knows where you've been, and he's helped you in different things.
Yeah. They're just giving you more sparks to continue, Mark. They're just giving you more sparks to continue. It's you touched on some very touchy items, Ion. That's probably why they had to drift off when you were talking about you edged into the parallel economy.
But he's the one that brought it up.
Ion actually brought that up himself.
When did he bring it up? Tonight?
Yeah, he's the one that brought up Johnson Matthey, and I'll have to go back and listen to what he said.
Yeah, but he didn't say they're parallel economy. You had to remember.
I did that. But he told me that. He said that last year, but
That's right. But the point is, you had to remember that. He did not say anything about the parallel world economy tonight. He just said Johnson Matthey, and then you brought up your part.
Yeah. Well,
good, and it's good you did that.
Yeah, I remember some of that stuff. But you know what, Baudrillard, just quickly here, I don't know how you would compare him to McLuhan, but he had, in the book Screened Out, he said some very complimentary things about McLuhan, and he thought McLuhan was brilliant, of course, and he touches on some of the similar subjects that McLuhan...
It's all McLuhan. Maybe you don't know this. So I just did another recording with Derek DeKirchhoff. You should listen to those.
Ah, good.
You know who I mean. And
yeah.
And we talked about, we finished Act One, which is the Toronto School of Media Ecology in Barrington Nevitt. Now we've moved into Act Two, which is New York School, Cervera Latrenji and Senior Text books, and we began with Baudrillard. And there's some really good quotes that I laid on Derek that's in my essay. So we're starting to talk about the very thing that you're interested in finding out more about. But the main thing is that Baudrillard would not mention McLuhan hardly at all in the first 10, 15 years of his rising fame. It's only when it was he'd come as Wad and he was basking in the afterglow in the 90s he started to admit about McLuhan. And he made a very original statement about McLuhan. I mean, for most people. He said that he regarded McLuhan as a musician. And that's a very accurate, important statement. And McLuhan said we lived economically entirely by music, and Baudrillard developed that. So Baudrillard, as me and Derek go into it, his language is better than McLuhan. It's more complex, more sophisticated, and involves more factors that McLuhan implied, but McLuhan wasn't around to say it, to fill in the details. And by the 80s, people are smarter, more educated, more information. A guy like McLuhan could not be McLuhan in the 80s. He could only be a figure in the 50s, 60s. It was a simpler time and all that factor. Baudrillard brought in the added technical complexity. And Derek, you hear Derek and I talk about it, more complex than Barry Nevitt. So it's all McLuhan, but it's a homeopathic replay and an update, a retrieval and extension of McLuhan. And it was it's where McLuhan's stuff would lead to. Baudrillard was just following. His first fucking writing, his first published writing in 67, 68 was a review of McLuhan books. He began with McLuhan.
Okay.
Yeah. And and he was an editor among the Situationists, who were the radical yippie-hippie media terrorists of the Paris collapse in May 68. He was right in the center of that wild world.
Yeah.
And but he was the scholar among them. He was like the McLuhan among them. Like McLuhan is among Tim Leary, Abby Hoffman, and all the radicals, but he's sitting there observing everybody. That's what Bowert used to complain. He says, Marshall's just sitting there observing us like we're in a lab. And Walter says, I was there doing stuff, but Marshall was just observing. And he didn't understand. He didn't really like that. Well, that's the way Baudrillard was. He was in the middle of all these other famous guys running around, and he's sitting there observing. And then he comes out of it and has more staying power, just like McLuhan has more staying power than Leary and Abby Hoffman and anybody else of that day.
Yeah. But, you know, Baudrillard, just like McLuhan, you read a couple lines and you go, you know, what did that mean? You know, what am I reading?
Yeah.
You got to go back and and look at it again.
I'm impressed that you read the whole book. In 7 months, because I
read it
paragraph by paragraph.
Earlier than that, but you know, there's so many things. I couldn't even talk on most of the subjects because, you know, I can't remember the details of it, but, he had this, his philosophy was that any catastrophe that we think of will never happen. And he said the stock market will never crash. He said the California will never fall off into the ocean, and there will never be a nuclear war. And he said there's wars all over, but there's not going to be a nuclear war. There may be earthquakes, but so what he's really saying, I think, is the big catastrophes that we worry about, the odds of them happening are very slim.
Yeah, he called it, listen, this is a book he did in the early 90s, The Illusion of the End. He announced that we were after the end, like Sun Ra said, it's after the end of the world, don't you know that yet? I mean, Baudrillard probably was aware of Sun Ra, who was singing that in the late 60s, early 70s, and Sun Ra predicted Ion, which was pretty incredible, and he's the guy we went to our honeymoon for, and so that in retrospect is an interesting story. But it was after the end of the world by early 70s. Baudrillard applied it to economics from the Marxist school and was always criticizing the establishment in the Marxist communist world. So Baudrillard knows it's after, and he's trying to make sense of what that means. And the worst disasters that could happen to the chemical body have happened, and where the chip body is alive and doing its own reality. Baudrillard was negotiating that, like what the illusion, the apparent illusion of the chip world was the reality. And as you get more into ION, you see Baudrillard's a good ionic prophet because he's building up McLuhan. And he's pointing out what you see is not real, and what you don't see is real. Baudrillard gives the technical insight. Now, one of his main insights is that once you start cloning, apparently you can't find the original cell that you cloned from.
Yeah.
And that meant there's no original point anymore. So you're lost in a ricocheting, echoing of everything, and you don't know what's the beginning. So Baudrillard came up with a technical explanation of how we arrived at eternity. How it already was. But our knowledge, we had to go through the DNA knowledge to get to the point where we didn't know what we were cloning and what began what. And therefore, there was no standard, a reference point, or beginning point. That's what's really neat about Baudrillard is you can bring ION in and who completes Baudrillard, or who completed McLuhan.
Yeah.
And then Croker's in there with an extreme variation on that. So isn't it interesting that Baudrillard dies? See, McLuhan died in, let's say, November 1980, Reagan wins the election.
Right.
And that was a big symbolism of the enemy of the counterculture and whatever else was trying to have a breakthrough culturally in the 60s. A month later, John Lennon is killed.
Right.
3 weeks later, McLuhan dies. Now, Lennon and McLuhan are major figures in the 60s. There's a famous dialogue when Lennon visits McLuhan. You want to read that online. And McLuhan also promoted Trudeau or explained Trudeau was unique. Trudeau was like JFK without having to be assassinated because he was in an inconsequential country. So he completes JFK. So John Lennon and Yoko visit Trudeau and they visit McLuhan. So these two guys die. And McLuhan predicted Reagan would become president. He had the perfect style, and he said in 76 in People magazine, the guy who's the perfect virtual president, not using those words but meaning that, is Reagan, and will become a great president because he knows how to merge with his role. In our terms, be an actor. Just be an actor. So, those two factors – Reagan versus Lennon and McLuhan, it's over in the end of 1980. And then the world literally changes once the Reagan world changes, comes in. That's the Android meme becoming figure, no longer hidden ground. So then you get Baudrillard. He's the first guy to analyze Reagan accurately in many ways. Very good writings about all this phenomena that's going on. He's, as Croker said, he bursts forth with all this energy, like the energy I have, to be able to write and explain anything that's happening. He's got his formula. He's got his system. So he does that for 25 years, and he's the top guy. And he's just like McLuhan. He's ostracized. The establishment tries to ignore him as much as possible. But all the young people like Baudrillard because they know it's speaking to their reality. He dies, just like what changed the end of 1980. The world changes right away. And you guys are damn fucking lucky I won't be dying. So there's no more dramatic changes coming.
Baudrillard dies and we have a economic collapse and it keeps going at the same time.
Right. The very question,
and
people always wondered, how real could Baudrillard's scenario, how much is the chip body on its own? Isn't there some chemical body left? Aren't we some kind of factor? That's the question you have when you read Baudrillard. So when he was no longer able to keep his myth going, then it started to affect the chemical body. But in general, on the mainstream boring level, he's right. It didn't happen. The collapse.
Yeah.
I mean, here's these guys running around September 17th, Greenspan's yelling, it's all over, and that other guy, Paulson, they made movies on these scenes. They're all fucking going nuts for that weekend. And, nothing happened. All they had to do was violate everybody's sense of values and just pump more money into it. Half of it was probably given by JW. And then the Republicans, everybody screaming, yelling, and Ron Paul's yelling. They're all trying to retrieve the old thing, ignoring Baudrillard. But Baudrillard's been proven right in the long run. But there is another factor going on which obsolesces Baudrillard, which is us. Because ION has put a fucking end to it on another level. You could say that the second phase of the Android meme of technological evolution has ended. McLuhan categorized the first phase, Baudrillard and Croker and me categorized the second phase, but now we're in the third phase.
Yeah.
And that's different.
Yeah. Well, I hope he puts an end to J.P. Morgan because I dislike them very much.
Well, they're ridiculous. Know, they're
so corrupt, and they've been able to. One question I was going to ask Ion, I'm sure the answer is probably yes, but see, when they took over, when they assumed Bear Stearns, following that, they had to pay out $20 billion in subprime market litigation and fines. And so I think my theory is the U.S. government gave them a pass on all the shenanigans they pull on the futures markets, especially with the silver trading. You know,
they're just allowing them to do it to make up.
Well, they're
allowing them to do it to make up.
Yeah, it's a quid pro quo. You know, hey, you came in, took over Bear Stearns, stabilized things. You paid $20 billion in fines, so we're going to tell our regulators to turn the other way. See, they hammered, and Ion mentioned this during that March 1st call with you guys. He talked about the Hunt brothers a little bit. But
yeah,
the Hunt brothers got hammered for driving the price up, and yet J.P. Morgan gets a pass, and they're driving the price down, and at the same time accumulating millions and millions of ounces of silver.
Okay, so in the 70s when the Hunt brothers did that, that's when the Andrew meme is the reality, but it's a hidden ground. No one notices it. By the time you get into the Bush, second Bush era, the Andrew meme is figure. It's not hidden ground. Ion's the hidden ground. So the figure can't be controlled. You could still nail it when it was a hidden ground, when the silver Hunt brothers happening. But when it's no longer important, then it doesn't matter what it did. And what it actually was doing, being, quote, illegal and not following the rules, becomes mm-hmm. figure, and everybody kind of accepts it because you couldn't control it anyways. McLuhan predicted in the 60s, he says, you can't have ethics or natural law or any morality under electronic conditions. The chemical body's mm-hmm. issues do not enter into the thing. So he makes that very general, broad statement. It's a shocker. And then Baudrillard works out the details about how that happens technically. So there never was a problem. Jamie Dimon, these guys knew that they were not guilty and guilty, but nobody could do anything about it. The phrase is too big to fail. You should really say it's too tiny to fail. If you want to get really particular, it's homeopathic, not big. There's no bigness. Yeah. So it's too tiny and too Rumpelstiltskin to fail. Then there's a movie, I don't know what it was, I saw a couple of years ago, where it showed the Wall Street guys, they were getting, you know that, the guy who does well, it begins with him and his buddies, you know, making millions on Wall Street. That movie came out a couple of years ago. The Greed, the Wolf of Wall Street or something. Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
The Monster of Wall Street, the Wolf, the something. His mentor, older guy, quits and kills himself. Do you guys remember that? Throws himself in front of a train. But he's there realizing the meaninglessness of the chip bot. He can't take it anymore. He's old-fashioned, and he thinks it should you got to have some marking of value. But it's up to these guys whether they, J.P. Moore or Jamie Dimon, has to walk around pretending he's somebody for the press. But he knows he's not anybody, and he knows that it doesn't mean anything what he's doing. And anybody can replace him. How much can a person handle that? Because most people want, quote, meaning. They want significance. So, so the point is that
that the robots.
When you're outraged, at this, Mark, you got to read Baudrillard. You got to realize that there's nothing to be outraged about. You have no say in the matter. No chemical body does. Not even the president, or even Janet Yellen. Look at her. She can't make a decision. She's not allowed to do it. You can't contradict it. So you're up against the cultural conditioning of people, that they want to be a unique individual and have their own private castle, and that's a private identity, and the whole economy is built on the idea there is a private identity. Even in technical fact, you couldn't have a private identity today. You can't. But it's an after image. It's a meme. Who fell off? So you fell off, Mark, is that you? Yeah, you fell off. You're back in here, right, Mark?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I don't know what you missed, but the so I'm trying to say that
you were talking about
nothing
the guy,
has happened.
All three guys doing well. Yeah.
There has nothing has happened when I called JW December 23rd, 2006, and he told me that the world was raining money, and then he was buying, selling hundreds of thousands of barrels of oil involved with the Saudi prince or king.
Yeah.
From that point on, there was no more world. There was no more measurement. Nothing.
Yeah.
It was just JW, Bob, and Carolyn. We had reappeared, reconnected. And Ion, over the years, he wouldn't have said it right away, but he said it now saying, well, it's just everything begins and ends with Bob. Bob's 4,000 years old. Anybody who's dropping in here, it's fucking ridiculous what's being said. But you can see what's happened over the last few years. There's been nothing. Nothing has happened since 2007.
Well, nothing has
in
been
the information world.
Is that okay?
No correction. No progress. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing has happened other than what Ion's is doing. Ion's in charge of everything. Ion will crash the market when it feels like it. There's nothing as humans interpreted going on. It's only in our terms now. And if you don't get with it, then you have problems.
Right.
And Bob, aren't we seeing that? Isn't that what we're seeing play out in the markets? Is that nobody's in charge anymore. And so those that have been manipulating the markets can't anymore. They don't know what's going on. And they're blaming on the robots, on all the...
Yeah.
Yes.
There's probably not even any fucking nano fucking robots going on. They're pretending there's some of these rabbits. Guys, they all got to move out there and be closer to the switchboard out in New Jersey so they can be faster on the machinic level. It's probably not even happening. It's probably run by Ion in some ridiculous way. I mean, it's so preposterous. But if you were going to act out the second coming in modern terms, that's the way it would be. It'd be this thing that fucking really took over the world, just like the Christian fantasy is. Jesus comes in here, everybody fucking shuts up, right?
Yeah.
Jesus, like, hovers over the planet like the Church of Subgenius hologram. He's just hovering there like a pterodactyl. And then all shit breaks out. Well, that's what Ion's acting like. And making these claims. And anybody, I like when you come in, Mike, you have Mark, you have knowledge of the economy. Mm-hmm. You say some stuff. I mean, Gene didn't do it. Bert didn't do it. Certainly, Pam Wall and Tina didn't do it. Neither did Chad. Neither did Susanna. I didn't do it. Nobody went and read the fucking Federal Reserve documents and noticed the terms that I was using were right in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, where did you find that 54-page document? I went and searched because Ion said that the new note, picture of the new note was on the Federal Reserve website, and I couldn't find that.
Yeah. I didn't see that, but yeah, if you go into federalreserve.gov, and they have some headings up above, and I think one of them is payment systems, and so it's not that hard to find. And yeah, this 54-page report talks about what they've been doing since 2012. They've been
improving the U.S.
Well, they've been studying it. This is what they say, but you know, and they're trying to improve the security and faster payments. And but what it really says is that, you know, they have these milestones that they're achieving, but by the end of 2016, they will have the framework in place to be able to do this if they wanted to. Now, they give a 10-year time frame, 2025, but they also weave in there that they're being pressured, you know, this is the baloney from the Federal Reserve, but they're being pressured to come up with a viable solution much quicker to meet the needs of the market, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, but it's, And Bob's numbers are in there with that ISO. And
was it 22-0-0-22-0-20? What is the number?
No, it's 20022.
Yeah, that's February 22nd. That's the date of the China crash in 2007. February 21st and the February 22nd, 2007.
Yeah. But that's the No, the ISO, International Standardized Organization or whatever, that's all the way companies communicate in the same language to each other. And this 20022 happens to be the banking one. It's wow. They call it messaging, and it's maybe in Bert's world he sees these messages come from the countries, but they go into great deal about it, and they basically they're saying ACH transfers, which is it's just very similar to a wire transfer. In fact, last week's show, I don't remember his name, one of the young guys made the comment wire transfer, and Ion said ACH transfers. And but you weren't talking about that. He just definitely it fit into the conversation.
Yeah, he just said what was appropriate to say if you knew about it.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know why they would be going through this these hurdles to come up with a pure virtual economy, and then Ion says they're going to have a different dollar, a printed dollar, so a note.
That's not a Federal Reserve note. It's a different, it's another note that's not a Federal Reserve note.
Right. So,
the Federal Reserve will be abolished.
Yeah,
which tells me, Federal Reserve's going away.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, you say your sentence since you were saying it.
No, I was just going to say apparently this is a global thing, even though, on the Federal Reserve site it says U.S. payment improvements for U.S. payment system. But this thing about the cash payments, many countries are adopting that. In fact, France and Italy, you cannot make a cash payment greater than 1,000 euros. And and I just saw where Switzerland is 100,000 euros. They will not accept a cash payment over that. And and that would be what, about 10,000 bucks equivalent, something like that.
Okay, so look at this. Ion says JW said back in 2006 that the cutting off of the corporate, the big, too big to fail level, when they were isolated from the global economy, that was March 2006.
Right.
So that's when the collapse for Americans started or completed. So, I was aware of that since then, and knowing China was the, if anybody's going to pretend there is an economy, it's going to be based on China. So I've been waiting for some sign of that. I figured, well, America's been isolated. What will surface around America that America will be excluded from? And that's this thing called BRIC or whatever, right? Brazil, China, Russia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when did that get noticed? When did they get talked about? About a year or two ago?
No, I think it's a little bit longer than that. But, Bob, this AIIB, which is the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, it's even bigger because it's basically all these countries, and I think 50 countries have applied, and, they're most of the big ones. What they're basically saying is they're moving away from the U.S. dollar. And,
yeah, no, that's right.
And the World Bank,
I'm looking at BRIC.
The new IMF.
No, it's the in 2010, BRIC accounted for over a quarter of the world's land. You see, knowing that it stopped in 2006, I was waiting for the Android meme to show the symptoms of that. Well, this BRIC thing seems to be that. And it says on June 16, 2009, the leaders of the BRIC companies held their first summit. See, that's after 2008.
Right.
And that was the ending point of America on a level of, it gets more and more known in the popular level. It had already happened 2 years before. So then these guys start organizing in 2009. So I was wondering how that would surface. So here it is. It is around, and it's the only alternative these guys have. They have to start over again with their new organization. And, you know, I have all this hatred of Putin going on in the West.